You have your Bible, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Glad to have Brother Dan Parker with us. He's our evangelist that comes every year, and glad to have him with Mama to take care of her, and he's kind of spoiling her, and that's all right, too. But we're glad to have you, Brother Dan. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses." God's promise to Joshua. Moses was now dead, and Joshua was the appointed one to take over his position. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and out from under the hand of Pharaoh to the point of entrance now into the promised land. God permitted Moses to go and to look into the land and to see it, but he was not permitted to lead the Israelites into the land. And you remember the reason why is that he was disobedient. God told him to speak to the rock that it would give water, and he got angry at the children of Israel and he smote that rock. God did send the water, but there's a price to pay for disobedience. Joshua had proven himself to be faithful in the service of the Lord under Moses, and some 40 years earlier, he was one of the 12 spies that was sent by Moses into the land in order to spy it out. You remember that 10 of the spies brought back a negative report, and they said they're giants in the land. We just can't possibly go in and overcome it. And it reminds me of the fact that they should have remembered just a few years before how that God by miracle and by plague led them out of the land of Egyptian bondage. He parted that Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to go across on dry ground. And when the approaching army of Egypt came out into the midst of the Red Sea, God allowed that parted water to come together again, and that ended their fight. Joshua had proven himself to be faithful. And him and Caleb brought back a positive report, and they said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." This tells us a whole lot about the faith of this man, Joshua. He was a general of Moses. God here gives Joshua his first assignment. He says, "Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people." Now, Joshua, not Moses, was to lead them into the promised land. And you remember it was described by God as being a land of milk and honey. And that promise was made a long time ago in the Ur of Chaldees. As the Bible tells us, God told Abraham that he would give him this land, and it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, a lot of years had passed, but God kept his promise. And I can tell you that all the promises in the Word of God will be fulfilled when God sees the timing is right. I think it's noteworthy that we mentioned that Israel was entering into uncharted territory. And even though it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey and there was wealth everywhere, it was also a land that was filled with inhabitants who were convinced that the land that they were coming into was theirs and theirs alone. Joshua and the Israelites had a chore ahead of them. They would have to fight for that which was rightfully theirs. Possessing the land did not look to be an easy task. And you remember the first thing they had to do was go up against Jericho. And God had given Joshua a strategy. Now, Joshua was a military man, and I'm sure that he had a strategy in mind, and I'm sure that others out there said that God's plan won't work. But the reason why they had success is they turned a deaf ear to all the other voices, and they listened to God. And they marched around that city one time every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, a number of completion, and then they were to cry out. And God would cause the walls to come tumbling down. Now keep in mind that these were thick walls. In fact, they said that they even built houses upon the walls. They were so large. But you know, that's not anything for God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that can do anything? And he delights in doing the miraculous and that which folks say can't be done? Well, God just pushed those walls down and gave the children of Israel victory. God assured them of his faithfulness, providing that they met his conditions. Now we need to remember that God's love is always unconditional. He loves us in spite of what we do. But his blessings are generally conditional, based on faithfulness. Well, God made four promises to Joshua. The first promise was of his provision. According to the last part of verse 2 and the last part of verse 3, this land was a gift from God. Now Moses, he said, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Every time I read that verse, I'm reminded of when I had my last Sunday at Kavanaugh after 28 years. And one of the men, and if I named his name, you'd probably, some of you would know him. Great guy, good Christian. But he got up, you know, for the church and kind of gave a summation of 28 years of ministry. And he used this verse, now my servant Moses is dead. And so I started checking my pulse, you know, and my heart. I thought maybe he knew something I didn't know. But him and I have laughed about that down through the years. Well, Moses, my servant, is dead, but to all this people, God said, I'm going to give them this land, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of their feet steps upon, I'm going to give that to them. He said, I promised this to Moses, and I'm reiterating that promise to you. Now, all the land of Palestine belonged to God. And if he wanted to give that land away that was occupied by the Hittites or any other group, he had a right to do it, did he not? The Bible said that he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. All the gold and silver is his. He owns everything. Now bringing it a little bit closer home, he owns everything you've got. I mean, everything you've got. You are a steward of God, And what you have is not yours. He can give it away to somebody else, and after a while, it'll be gone. You're not going to keep it through eternity. And so we are stewards of everything that he's given to us. Reminds me of the rich young ruler. Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the scripture says he had a lot of wealth and money. And that just broke his heart. He wasn't willing to sacrifice all. So he turns and goes away sorrowfully. Now, some have conjectured that there are three mentions of why are rich men in the New Testament. There's the rich young ruler, there's the barn builder in Luke 12, and then dives in Luke 16. And if that be the case, we see the scenario where he made a decision in his life that I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm convinced God didn't want him to give everything, just be willing to do it. Sometimes we're not willing. You know, when I was at the college, we had to get a lead gift for the folks that was kind of instructing us, said you need a pace-setting gift in order to build this building. So I started looking for somebody that would give a big amount of money. Some of you know or knew Bill Barber, but Bill was a good friend and he had the capacity and he gave $1 million. And that was the pace-setting gift for that about $4.5 million building. And I was asking others to give. And I decided, you know, Barbara told me, he said, Carl, we need to do something. And the Lord laid upon my heart that we give $50,000 over a 3-year period of time. And I thought, how in the world can we do that? I mean, I didn't have a fat bank account. I looked for my check. Well, I just got it once a month. But, you know, in 3 years' time, that $50,000 was paid. And I didn't miss paying my tithes, didn't take it out of my tithes, but I made a commitment to God. When God impresses you to make a commitment, he'll enable you to get it done. If you're willing and faithful, God will take care of you. He told the rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have, but he turned and he went away sorrowfully. And in Luke chapter 12, we see that he was a rich man. It was one of those years when he had a bumper crop. He planted the seed at just the right time and had the right amount of sunshine and rain, and everything went good. And he saw at harvest time he was going to have a bumper crop. So he looked around at his meager barns and thought, they're not sufficient to house all of my goods. So I'll tear down these meager barns. I'll build me bigger barn. Then I can say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible said, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? When you give to God, you get it back many times in blessings. I'm not telling you that if you tithe or you give to God, God's going to make you wealthy, but he'll take care of your needs. Then we see in Luke chapter 16, and the rich man died. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down with just a drop of water on the tip of his finger that I can have some relief. I cannot stand the pain, the suffering that I'm going through. He failed the test. Don't you know the people who lived in the land were irate when they were driven off of that property that they had lived on for all these years. That's one reason they're still fighting over there today. And so God gave Joshua the promise of his provision. We have that same promise. God has promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. I'm convinced, and I look around this morning and I see a congregation that hadn't missed many meals. We drive up in big old cars. You know, we don't have to hold our head down for anything. You know, you look out there at the cars, you look at our homes, you look at all that we have. God has been good to us. He has provided. He has been faithful to do what he promised. Then God gave Joshua the promise of his protection. He said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." What a wonderful promise. That says that you can go out there and pick the biggest guy in town and tell him, "Come on, boy, I'm going to." No, you don't want to do that. Because the Lord didn't promise that, but he'll take care of you. He'll be right there with you. God is saying, when you face the enemies of this land, I want you to know that I will give you the victory over them. You don't have to be afraid. And he says to us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we know that our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Thirdly, God gave Joshua the promise of his presence. Verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, that must have made Joshua feel pretty confident, pretty special, to know that everywhere that he went, God would be right there with him. I've gone into some places I was glad God was with me. I'm sure most all of us have. I have pastored a place or two that I was sure glad God was with me. We have the same promise. He said, "I'll not leave you, or I won't forsake you." Isn't that good news? He said, "I will be with you to the end of the age." And that may not be too long down the road. He not only walks with us as we travel through life, but he also lives within us in the person of the Holy Spirit to give us his abiding presence. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that you have somebody that walks with you? And, you know, we all talk about that illustration where there are two sets of footprints in the sand. And all of a sudden, there's only one. And he said, "Lord, where did you go?" And the Lord said, "That's when I had to pick you up and carry you." And that's the way it is with the Lord. If Jesus goes with me, the song says, I'll go anywhere. You see, even the dark continent of Africa wouldn't be so bad if Jesus is there. On the other hand, no place is all that wonderful if he is not there. His presence makes all the difference. You remember Daniel? He had the habit of praying three times a day. He'd get out on his balcony and he'd point towards Jerusalem. And they told him, "You can't pray but to the king." But they knew he wouldn't, and so they were trying to trap him. And so they brought a false report against him that he wouldn't stop praying to his God. And so they cast him into the lion's den. Now, God was with him. And those hungry lions, he shut their mouths. They were just like kitty cats. And so after he got out of that lion's den, those false accusers were thrown in. And God unloosed that muzzle on them. And they had a good dinner. The three Hebrew children, they were cast into the fiery furnace. And when they looked in, they said, "Did we not throw three in there? I see four and one that looks like the Son of God." When they were out on the storm-tossed Galilean Sea, they didn't know if they were going to make it. But the Lord comes and says, "Peace be still." And the storms calmed. I'm here to tell you, His presence is with us. Aren't you glad that wherever you go, whatever you do, God is there with His people, and He'll always be there to see you through. And finally, God gave Joshua the promise of His prosperity. In the last part of verse 8, God promised Joshua that He would make his way prosperous and give him good success. I don't know just exactly what all that means, but whatever God calls prosperous is bound to be extra good. And when God says you have good success, that's got to be something really special. You see, God doesn't give just anything. He doesn't give junk. He gives the best. How many of you would agree today that God has showered His blessings down upon you and your family? Do you remember back to the days when maybe you didn't have a nickel in your pocket to rub against another one? Kind of reminds me of the story of William Reynolds. He was an evangelist. And he had this fellow on his mind. He was a rich farmer that lived in upstate Michigan. He was an agnostic, and he wanted to win him to the Lord. He was getting up in years. And so he made an appointment with the man, and they told him, said, "You better be careful. He's awfully hard on preachers." But he went up, and he drove up to the place where he lived, and he saw the man sitting on the porch. And he came to the gate and opened the gate and let William Reynolds in, and they began talking. And the man said, "You know, when I came here, I didn't have a nickel in my pocket, didn't own anything." He took him up to the cupola of the barn. He pointed in one direction, said, "All that land in that direction, all those woodlands, as far as the eye can see," he said, "it's all mine." He pointed in another direction. He said, "All those farmlands that you can see in that direction, it's all mine." He pointed in that direction. He said, "All of those cattle, and then in that direction, all of those sheep, as far as you can see in all directions, it's all mine." Kind of startled William Reynolds for a moment. He stepped back, and then he stepped forward. He said, "You know, I can see you're rich in that direction. 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 But how rich are you in that direction?" And you know, when it's all said and done, that's all that counts, is how rich are you in that direction. As we get closer to the other side, it makes us realize that you need to regroup and redouble your efforts to be all that God wants you to be. Because you have no idea how long you're going to be here. We may live for another 5 years or 10 years, or the Lord may come back tonight. And I say, "Lord, come on, even so, come quickly." But whenever that time is, we want to be ready. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Will you bow your heads for prayer?